Climax Studio in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We're joined on our live chat by the best and the brightest from around the Packers blogosphere, including our own Jamie Snowden and Alex Talish. But right now, Mr. Banky, why don't you tell us what is on tap tonight?
Joining us later tonight, we'll break down the upcoming showdown with the Bears, Mr. Matt Bowen, Chicago Bear himself. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got James Jones returns.
The turtleneck has landed.
McCarthy saying his team will kick the Bears' ass.
Because the Bears still suck.
And we got the bad. We got suspensions hanging over week one.
Troy Guyon and Dayton Jones, you suspect.
And we got the ugly. We got crushing Miles White's dream.
Poor Miles White was on the squad for 24 hours. But, you know, hey, it has a happy ending. Just reported this afternoon, he signed with the Giants practice squad. So there's life after the Packers for Miles White, and that's a good thing. Life after preseason for Corey Banky. Corey,
oh, thank the Lord.
Corey, how the hell are
you? We finally have games that matter. I can't wait.
And we start off with a bang against the Bears. You got to love it. And you know what? You know how you like to start off with a bang? You know, the season starts off with a bang with, you know, the Bears week one. I'm going to start the show off with a bang. I'm going to have a little Wisco disco.
A little Wisco.
I got to tell
you. The only people in New York City drinking Wisco tonight.
That's us. Oh, salut.
Oh, that's right. I'm lucky. That's right. I forgot.
But I got to say, I'm a little disappointed. I'm a little disappointed with the lack of Wisco disco pictures I received in my Twitter feed this week.
Oh, yeah.
You know, last week we put out the call, the clarion call. You put up there, you know, put up your pictures of you with a Wisco disco either in Lambeau or... Hell, this week, if you're in the parking lot at Soldier Field with a Wisco disco, send us a picture. Send it to at Cheesehead TV. And, you know, you'll get a free beer at the tap room at Stone Bank Brewery.
Speaking of, though, free beer. Mm. Well,
I mean, that'll bring any conversation to a screeching halt because people got to know about
actually,
the free beer.
Let's go to the free poster. Okay.
Oh.
So,
controversy.
You know, Mr. Nagler and I, we just were like, yeah, anybody do this and get a poster.
Have a poster.
It was pretty insane. I think we gave away like 40 posters.
It's pretty hot.
So tonight we're giving away one poster.
One poster, ladies
I know
and
that's
gentlemen.
A Debbie Downer for those of you who watch the show religiously, but we're going to give away
two of you. And mom, you don't count.
One poster tonight. And I'm gonna put this up here, what you need to do.
Right.
An old school thing. This is the poster you get. We will ship it to you this week.
As long as you're in the United States.
In the United States, people. I know we have Packer fans worldwide. It sucks, but you know what else sucks? Paying $40 to ship a poster to somebody. You know what I'm saying?
I love it.
It's
I
ridiculous.
It. Corey Banky.
I don't have $40.
Corey Banky's got his rules, people.
I have, you know.
Corey Banky doesn't have $40. You know why he doesn't have $40? Because he sunk it all his capital into an app that no one's ever going to see.
Except me. It's an app
Seriously,
that I made for
it's
myself.
Like, at this point, it's no. Corey's personal
app.
No.
It's launching.
Just not today.
It will launch before the season, and I still have 3 days. You don't have to knock on wood. I made an executive decision today looking at it, and I said, you know what? Packer fans deserve better.
You know, I got to say, the Cheesehead TV app is starting to gain mythical status. Like, people ask me about it nearly every day on Twitter, especially since last week on this here program, right before we came on
Good,
air.
Tease it.
Like, seriously, right before we
tease
came
it.
On air, the last thing Corey said to me before we went live, don't mention the app.
No,
don't
I didn't
say anything
that.
About
That's
the app.
True.
Whatever you do, don't
That's
talk true. About the app. We're not ready to launch. Don't say that. So, okay, I've got it in my head now. Don't talk about the app.
We're going
to
launch.
We go through the whole show. We're through an hour. We're almost ready to go, you know, cut to black, fade to black. What is the one of the last thing Corey says is, as we're like about to sign off, and the app is launching next week. Just drops it out
there.
It is. Just drops it.
But it is, though. It is. Is it still next week?
It is.
Thank you.
It is.
So if you want to win this poster made by the amazing illustrator, Brent Schoonover.
It is hot.
It's pretty hot badass. Stuff, I still haven't touched one myself. I can't wait till we get ours. Brent, what are you waiting for?
It's going to go up. We got a place of honor here.
You got a tweet, okay? And this only works on Twitter. Doesn't work on Instant Face.
Wait, tweets don't work on Facebook?
It doesn't work on Instant Face, and it doesn't work on thefacebook.com.
Or myface.com.
It only works on Twitter. And you got a tweet. I'm watching Packer Transplants on at Cheesehead TV, sponsored by at Wisco Disco Beer. You got to have all that in the thing. And we will choose one person randomly. Tweet it now. It only works if it's live.
Got to happen, dude.
If you tweet it later, we'll give you some kind of honorable mention on the next show. So if you're listening to the podcast,
we'll probably cackle derisively. But, you know, it'll be fun.
If you're listening to the podcast, you should still do it.
Yeah, clearly.
Just to show how much of a fan you are.
Yeah, because, you know, if you don't tweet it, did it really happen?
Nope. But yeah, that you can win the poster. Every week we're going to be giving away this poster. Maybe we'll be giving away more stuff. That's just what we do.
Speaking of more stuff, what about our other lovely sponsor, Legends of the Field? Dude.
Legends of the Field has James Jones coming up for an autograph signing. Pretty badass.
Come on now.
Can't wait to get my hands on some
James
Jones
stuff.
What is
that? On September 19th. Make sure you check Legends of the Field out on Facebook. Their Facebook page is popping, full of great Packer goodness. Which, of course, if you're watching this here program or listening later on, you know how much we love Packer goodness. So make sure you check it out. Check out their Facebook page. It is awesome. What do you think about that, Corey Behnke?
I love having sponsors because that means I get to drink free beer and get free autographed Packer
you get
stuff.
Free swag, man. You know, it's pretty hot. All right, let's get down to some brass tacks. Now we've got to eat our vegetables here. We're gonna have to talk some Packer news. There's hardcore news to be discussed, Corey Behnke.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Randall Cobb and TJ Lang back at practice. And there's somebody else I forgot to mention in the script. Micah Hyde also returned. So that's good. We get some reinforcements here, guys who, you know, have been out for the last, you know, 10 days or so, and all of them practiced today, and that's very encouraging. So, and Randall Cobb especially, I think, was the big one everyone was worried about. Maybe reports have been overblown. We hadn't heard from Cobb himself, but at his locker today, Randall Cobb spoke and said he plans on playing on Sunday. He vows to be there, I think, is the headline I read. So,
okay.
Randall Cobb, in full effect, Sunday against the Bears. Next up, on the negative side of the ledger, Morgan Burnett popped up on the injury report today, did not participate with a calf injury. Now,
that's not good.
I'm trying not to get, you know, too ahead of myself here and, you know, try not to get people all upset, because that's what I tend to do. But
you mean all upset because we don't have a secondary?
I'm just saying, the last time I'm recalling a week one showdown out west with the 49ers back in 2013, where Morgan Burnett was a sudden scratch, and that day our safeties looked like Tweedledee and Tweedledum because they didn't know where to line up. They didn't know what they're doing. Now, obviously, Jay Cutler is not the 2013 version of Colin Kaepernick. Phone's ringing, dude. And, Jay Cutler is not going to be Drew Brees, another quarterback who feasted on a Morgan Burnett-less secondary. That was last year. However, Adam Gase is a good offensive coordinator, and he knows how to create mismatches, especially if there's a safety back there, maybe Micah Hyde, who knows, who maybe is not as adept at making the calls as Morgan Burnett. So it's definitely something to monitor. I'm not too worried yet. Maybe Burnett pops back in there later on this week, but it is definitely something to monitor and not something I'm thrilled about. And finally, we touched on it in Good and Bad and the Ugly, but we got to mention it in the news because it is news. It's big news. James Jones back in the fold with his number 89. Richard Rodgers going to number 82.
You know what I'm looking forward to?
The turtleneck?
No, I'm looking forward to game day on Twitter. The first time James Jones drops the ball.
Oh, my gosh. That's all I thought about. The day he was coming back, it was like official, he was coming back. All I could think about. And you already have those people who are already tweeting it, like, ooh, mention all of his drops. Mention his horrible hands. You people need to get a freaking life and enjoy something, anything, for a second. Like, a guy comes back who is incredibly productive, helped win the team a freaking Super Bowl, and there are people out there going, ooh, he had terrible hands. Yeah, he had a couple seasons where he had terrible hands. And then he had a season where he led the NFL in touchdown catches, people. Gosh, is it so hard just to enjoy something just for a little bit?
Not for people on Twitter.
Yeah, you got that right. So that's it. That's the news. We slide back and I think we're ready. I think we're ready to talk some Packer Bear
rivalry
matchup situations with Mr. Matthew Bowen. Now, we love Matt Bowen. He's been on this program a number of times, and we can't thank him enough for agreeing to come on the program. And I say agreeing to come on because now we have to call him live here on the air, and we'll see if he picks up. Because okay. That's always a dubious process. You know, the larrivying is always a possibility. So we will see as Corey gives him a ring here on this here phone. Yeah, there we go. This is exciting programming here, ladies and gentlemen. Exciting programming. The phone is ringing. Bowen's number.
Hello?
Matt Bowen. This is Aaron Nagler at Cheesehead TV. How are you, buddy?
Hey, what's going on?
The excitement is palpable, my friend. You are live on the air, so don't say anything derogatory about Banky, all right?
No, I don't want to do that. What's going on, guys?
Not much. You know, we're hanging out. We're talking little Packers Bears. I thought we'd give you a call because that is your ballywick, and, you know, you're putting up great content there at the Chicago Tribune. Thought I'd chew the fat with you for a little while about this opening week matchup, if that's cool by you.
Always. You know that with you, Aaron. Always, always.
So, okay, obviously, I think the big storyline, I think, is pretty obvious here. The Bears, obvious overhaul this offseason. New coaching staff, new philosophies, new systems. How has it changed? What are the major changes? If you're looking at it from a 30,000-foot level, what are the big changes that we're going to see from the Bears, not only this week, but this season in general?
Well, Aaron, I think the first thing is style of football, okay? Because I think everyone's going to pick the Green Bay Packers to win this football game. I'm going to pick them. You're going to pick them. Everyone who watches NFL football is going to pick them. We understand that. But what I'm looking for in this game and throughout the stretch of this season, especially from the John Fox coach football team, is how they play different than when Coach Tressman was running this football team the last couple of years. I think they're going to be more physical. I think they'll finish games more. I think they'll be much more competitive. But I think the overall key that you're going to see this season, Aaron, is a lack of talent at key positions. That's where they have to get better. They got to rebuild this roster. They have to get stronger on the defensive line. They have to get quicker, get ball hawks in the secondary. They have to improve the inside linebacker position. There's a lot of moving parts that they don't have quite yet. But overall, the biggest change is going to be that style. Because I'll tell you, I played against Coach Fox's teams, you know, back when he was at Carolina. Okay, and you come out of those games, Aaron, and you're automatically going to the cold tub. Automatically. There were battles now. There were battles. And that's the style of football he played back then. And obviously, back then it was Steven Davis. It was Jake DeLoma. It was Steve Smith. It was Julius Peppers. They were physical. They were nasty. And they hit you right in the mouth. So that's what I think the Bears want to get to, Aaron. But you got to have the guys. You and I have always said this, okay? Because both of us, we look at scheme a lot, right? Right. We talk about coverage. We talk about route concepts, run blocking, whatever it may be. But in the NFL, which is different than college football, especially high school football, which I'm coaching now out here in Chicago, it's not scheme. It's the players first, then the scheme. So the Bears got to get those guys.
As a former player, you mentioned your battles there with Fox's teams and others. What did you make, as someone who's been in an NFL locker room, what did you make of Mike McCarthy's comments to the Chamber of Commerce that his team was going to go down and kick Chicago's ass? Is that funny? Is that bulletin board material? How do you view that?
I don't think it's bulletin board material. I would love it if he was my head coach. That's okay, coach. I hear you, okay? I would love that. Because I played for coaches who did talk like that in the meeting room, not at luncheons, obviously, but they talk like that in the meeting room. And I love that stuff. It gets you fired up. Because I've always said the first thing, the key to every successful team at any level of the game is you have to believe in the head coach. You got to believe in that guy. You have to want to play for that guy. You have to want to play hurt for that guy. You have to want to play for that guy when you're in a two-game losing streak. And it's just simple things like that that kind of players gravitate to. And from the Bears' perspective, and then they won 5 games last year. You know, they won 5 football games. Right. They should expect people to talk about them like that until they change their culture, so they change how people perceive this football team. Because right now, all they have is the tape from last year. The preseason tape, we all know. Aaron, you and I think it's just our nature. We watch that stuff. We watch it constantly. We replay games in the preseason. But we know that's not the real football teams we're going to see this week or in week 4, week 6, and so on. So the Bears have to understand that the teams are mostly studying their film from last year in terms of personnel, and they're saying, look, we can go get these guys.
What are you hearing on Alshon Jeffrey? I mean, obviously, this is the way they've gone. The Bears have now gone about their injury reporting is crazy to me. And now I know he practiced today for the first time in a long time. What are you hearing? Do you know how he looked, and what's the prognosis for Sunday?
Well, he was limited today. Okay. Anytime a player is limited in practice, they're not full go. That's the bottom line. They're not full go. I mean, not doing every drill. They're not doing one-on-ones. They're not in full gear. So it's still a concern. And here's the major thing. And I say, if it's, especially for skill position guys, I think it might be different in the offensive and defensive line. We're talking about skill position guys, the back seven on defense, wide receiver, tight end, running back, and quarterback. You got to practice, Aaron. You have to practice. Because those are fast twitch guys. Okay, so you're talking about Alshon Jeffrey, a guy who hasn't really run a route for a month against in a competitive situation. I'm talking a one-on-one in training camp. Hasn't done it for basically a month. And now you got to put him on the field this weekend. I'm interested to see what it's going to be like. Now, maybe he's Superman, Aaron. Maybe he goes out there at 7, 8, 9 grabs. I don't know. Okay, but from my experience as a player and with other guys I've played with, if you don't practice for a month, you're really just rolling the dice. You don't know how they're going to come out of the breaks.
Right.
You don't know if they're going to be crisp on the field. You don't know if something else is now has a chance to be injured. You're talking about hamstring, groin, a calf, because they haven't worked out. You know, running in the pool, riding the stationary bike, man, that stuff makes you look great at the beach, Aaron, okay? It doesn't make you look good on Sundays. You have to play football to get ready. That's why I'm still a proponent of the preseason. I know that was a big talk this year with the ACLs. We see it every year.
Yeah.
Everyone says, oh, preseason's worthless. Hey, you and I both know the owners ain't getting rid of that, right?
Nope.
So
nope.
If you're a veteran player, you can still use that to your advantage, to condition your body to get in those high-speed environments where you can prepare yourself for regular season football. And that's what I'm worried about with number 17, is he hasn't practiced. He has not practiced. So you have to say, okay, how many snaps is he going to get and how many targets is he going to get on Sunday if he's in full gear?
Staying on the offensive side for the Bears, I think you wrote about Kyle Long moving over to right tackle. Is that happening? What's the state of their offensive line? Because I saw they released Jordan Mills, which, you know, I obviously don't watch a ton of their tape. I watch 2 or 3 games a year.
Right.
But, Jordan Mills had played really well his rookie year, I thought, and then kind of just fell off the cliff. And now they're reshuffling their line again. So what's going on there?
Well, I think the entire line outside of Matt Slauson is really a question mark right now. And the reason I say that, Jermaine Bushrod has been hurt. He hasn't played his best football left tackle. Will Montgomery is new at center. You're going to bump Kyle Long out to tackle, it sounds like. Now, the depth chart they released, he's still at guard. But like you said, you don't know what's going on up there at Hal's Hall right now. Everything's – I mean, they got padlocks in those doors up there. So I expect him to be a tackle, okay, because I think that's the Bears' weakest spot. Like you said, they got rid of Mills. Charles Leno played some in the preseason. He did not perform very well. So I think the natural progression is to move him out there. And I'll be honest, I like Kyle better at right guard. I like him inside.
Yeah.
I think he fits the mold, though. He's athletic. He can pull. He can work to that second level. Plus, he's downright nasty. And that's what you want inside. You want someone that's going to punch someone in the mouth every single snap. If they get hit, they're going to hit back. That doesn't mean he can't do that at right tackle. I'm not going to question that at all. He's got the footwork to do that, but we'll see. Is it a good move? Where does it make them better? Where does it make them worse? Right now, does it make them better right tackle? Yeah, it does. But does it make them better on the inside for those inside zone schemes they want to run under Adam Gase and Matt Forte? Can they get to the second level versus the Green Bay Packers without Kyle Long at right guard? I don't know if they can or not. But they ultimately, they're worried about Clay Matthews, Julius Peppers, and the Packers' ability to rush off the edge. And I can understand that. Where do we have to get better? Well, one, we have to keep our quarterback off the ground. And that's another great, I think, storyline in all this. It's been real quiet about Jay Cutler.
It really
it's been
has.
Real quiet.
That was my next question.
It's been really quiet. If you watch the preseason tape, not very aggressive, okay? And now, granted, he was playing wide receivers, didn't make the football team either, okay? Because, obviously, Kevin White, that's a disaster. Let's just be honest here.
Yeah.
Your top 10 pick goes down, that's a disaster. It is. It is what it is. It's unfortunate, but it happened. Jeffrey didn't play. Eddie Royal got banged up. So his top 3 guys were out. He did feed the ball to Martellus Bennett. You've got to see that on Sunday. You know that. Jay wants to go to the middle field and get the ball to Martellus. That's going to happen. but he wasn't very aggressive. I thought the game plan was very reduced. It was almost run first, try to manage the chains, and pick up those third and 2-6 situations. Now, can that beat Green Bay? No, it can't. It can't. You can do that if you've got the Seattle Seahawks playing defense.
Right.
Arizona has
exactly.
Seattle
well,
Seahawks
that's the thing.
Defense.
Ultimately, you got to expect it ends up being they got to try and put up points to keep up with Green Bay. The thing is, though, you mentioned him not being aggressive, and that's what was my question was going to be about. I think, you know, it fell apart between Cutler and Tressman last year in large part because Cutler would not play within the system. And you look at what he's doing, like you said, in preseason, not pushing the ball downfield at all. I think the most aggressive thing you saw out of Jay Cutler was that run to the end zone against the Colts.
Right.
Can he do this? I mean, is he capable? Is this the annual question with Cutler? Because I think if he plays within the system, if he's capable of like just destroying those tendencies to try and make something happen, I think he can be successful. The question is, can he do it?
Right, and that's the question every couple of years with a new offense coordinator.
Right.
Okay, you know, going back to Mike Martz, all right, there's been a lot of guys, a lot of different playbooks he's got to learn and work with. One thing I will say, and you can pick up on a couple of things in preseason tape, not a lot, but a couple of things, is outside of the pocket, I think Adam Gase is really going to move him. I think he's going to move him a lot. I think he's going to play to his strengths. I think Jay Cutler is good when he's outside of the pocket. I think he's good when he can create. I think he's good when he throws in the run.
Yeah,
I think that's the best situation for him. Now, granted, he's in a half throw from the pocket. If you're an NFL quarterback, I've always said this. When it's third and 12, and little old ladies in upper deck know you got to throw, hey, you got to make the throw, right? Everyone in the stadium knows you got to throw the ball. You got to throw it, right? You still got to be able to do that in this system. That's what's universal in every system, whether we're talking about Green Bay, Seattle, Chicago, Miami Dolphins. I don't care. Pick a team. The Wisconsin Badgers, the Iowa Hawkeyes. It doesn't matter. Third and 12, and the quarterback's got to make a play. Hey, you got to make a play. You got to make a throw down the field. Everyone knows that's coming. But what are they going to do to take advantage of his athletic ability? I think it's going to be key this season for the Bears. And the future of Jay Cutler here in Chicago is how he fits in the system, like you're saying here. And if he does fit in this system, and they can start doing some things offensively, start to build offensively. Because they do have some young pieces. When Kevin White does come back, when he's healthy, I think he's an explosive player in the NFL. I really like Jeremy Langford, the rookie running back out of Michigan State. I think he had an excellent preseason. And it's looking more and more like this might be Matt Forte's last season with the Bears.
Right.
That's understandable. He's talking about a running back and getting into his 30s. Hey, we all know the story there. It doesn't end well, right? So you have a nice young running back after that you can start to feed the ball to. So they're going to have some young pieces. But it still comes down to, can Jay work within this system? Because he's trying out for this coaching staff. Everyone is. Everyone who wasn't drafted by the Bears this year, hey, they're trying out for John Fox, Adam Gase, Vic Fangio, and GM Ryan Pace.
Right. Speaking of Fangio, let's go to that defensive side of the ball. We're talking to Matt Bowen, Chicago Tribune contributor. Also a former NFL player, played safety for our beloved Green Bay Packers once upon a time. Talking about Vic Fangio and the defense, okay, a lot has been made, at least I've seen a bunch made in the Chicago media, about Vic Fangio having the formula or knowing how to defend Aaron Rodgers. And I think some people have been better about this than others in regards to, well, a big part of what Fangio had in San Francisco to defend Aaron Rodgers was the horses to run two-man almost exclusively. I mean, if you go back and watch that tape, he runs a ton of two-man. Now, we know he doesn't have the horses in Chicago to do that. So how much pressure is he going to have to send to try and get to Rodgers?
Aaron, I think that's the best question. And that's something I'm so excited to see because you bring up a great point. And I've heard the same thing this week. Well, you know, you look at the San Francisco tape. Man, why would you look at the San Francisco tape? That stuff's worthless here. It's worthless because Alden Smith's not coming, Patrick Willis, Navarro Bowman, you know, none of these guys are coming with them, all right? So you have to work with the talent you have. And the best coaches at every level of the game, and what do? They adapt to their personnel.
Right.
Okay? If you can't get pressure with four and Aaron Rodgers, that means you got to bring five. Can't get there with five, guess what? You got to bring six. Okay, you got to do what you have to do. Okay, you can't let them sit back. I'll tell you right now, Aaron, again, just based on training camp practices and preseason tape, there is no one in the secondary right now for the Chicago Bears that is making plays in the football.
Yeah.
No one.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the starting unit. You don't see guys driving on the ball. You don't see guys that are ball hawks. You don't see guys challenging receivers in cover four, cover three, cover one. It drives me insane watching. It does. It drives me insane because I think you have to have a couple of those guys back there say, look, you're not catching the ball on me this time. And if you do, I'm going to funnel you to my safety. He's going to take you out of the game. Okay, you got to have that mentality a little bit in the secondary. So I think he's in a tough spot. I'm really excited to see what type of game plan he comes out with. I think you're going to see some cover four. I think you'll see some match coverages, what I mean by that. Maybe some doubles inside. You know, because if I'm Vic Fangio right now, the first thing I'm saying is in the passing game, you know, if Randall Cobb's up, I expect him to be up. Randall Cobb's not going to beat us. Okay, Randall Cobb cannot beat us. All right, if it's Davante Adams, it's fine. All right, if Davante Adams makes some plays on us, we'll go over to the next play. We'll hunt up and call something different. But we're not going to let Randall Cobb be, especially in the red zone. So let me ask you this, Aaron. If you're Mike McCarthy right now, mm-hmm. and you've watched the preseason tape of the Bears, you know most of his personnel. Why don't you just come out in two tight ends and say, I want to see how tough you are.
Yeah.
I want to see if you tackle Eddie Lacy. Yeah. I want to see if you're tough enough to tackle Eddie Lacy. And if you aren't, we're going to keep going down the field. Keep going down the field. And then we're going to take a deep shot over the top. And when you back off a little bit, we're going to go back to two tight ends. I just think right now it's going to be very tough for the Chicago Bears. One, to match personnel, obviously. I think everyone understands that. But two, to match the game plan. Because I think Mike McCarthy and the Green Bay Packers can be as multiple as they want in this game and try different things because the Bears don't have the talent to match up. So what you do defensively, a lot of times that forces your hand to bring more pressure in pressure situations. But that goes back to what I was just talking about, the secondary. Can they make plays in the football? Because if you don't make plays in the football against Aaron Rodgers, you don't have a chance.
So, while I totally agree with all of that, and I recognize, like you said, the need for pressure, I totally also agree with the idea that McCarthy is going to, you know, play very multiple. I think that's the big key now that Jordy Nelson has gone down. I think they right. have to. I mean, it's not as easy as you just plug James Jones in and carry on. I think you will see a ton of multiple stuff from Mike. You know, I'm going to put you brass tacks here. You said it at the top, but I'm going to get out of you officially here. What's your pick for Sunday?
Oh, I'm taking Green Bay. I think it's two scores. You know, if you're looking for an actual score, I would say, I'll go with the Pack around, I'd say 30 to 14, something like that, Green Bay. I'd say something, you know, around then. You know, I think there's always a turnover in an NFL game that gives field position. The Bears could pick up one of those, get a quick score. But, yeah, I like Green Bay in this game. I like him a lot. And going back real quick, Aaron, to what we're saying, you know, one thing to watch in this game from the perspective of Packer and Bears fans is who are the rushers for the Bears? Who are the guys that are going to go after the quarterback when they are playing coverage? Okay, because if one's going to be Pearl number three, you know you're going to have Jared Allen. Because every team, whether you're a 3-4, 4-3, whether you run the bare front, when it's third down, you have four guys rushing the pass.
right. Well, I'll tell you what, Matt, I'll tell you what, though. There is the Bears have one hope and one possibility here. From what I've seen, anyway, Jared Allen still being asked to rush with his hand on the ground on third downs on occasion. Which he's familiar mm-hmm. with, obviously. And Bakhtiari had a rough start to camp and a rough start there up in New England before he went out with the knee injury. And now he's coming back from that knee injury. I'm telling you what, I think there's a chance Jared Allen could get around that corner at least once during this game.
Right. I agree with that. And you also have McPhee. Lamar Houston can be in there. I think Willie Young will be up. They have guys that can get off the football. There's right. no question about that. But the key in all that, Aaron, to get to that third down to get a win in first and second down, right?
Yeah.
I think that's really where this game plays out. I think that's where this game plays out. If the Packers win in early downs, I think they get in that play and they're very happy to fly home to Green Bay. I think they'll play excellent football. If they don't win on first and second down, then we might have a good football game on Sunday at Soldier Field. It's really going to come down to that. I really believe that. Because we have chances to attack this secondary right now based on what they show. You know, it's just the matchups aren't there for Chicago. But that's what I know, Aaron. This NFL football. You and I could talk next week and have a totally different discussion based off this game. We don't. It's the best reality show going, man. It really is.
I love it. Love it. All right. Matt Bowen, you are a legend, as always, for joining us. Thanks so much for taking the time. And we'll definitely be talking to you later again this year.
All right. Now, I'll make sure I get those Cubs playoff tickets for you.
You know, you had to put it out there. Had to mention the Cubs. You know,
hey man, you gotta give me a chance, man. This is like once every 20 years, John. Okay.
Well, I will enjoy watching them lose in the playoffs. That's for sure.
Hey, as long as we're there, man. As long as we're there, and I can drink an old style and watch them, I'm good.
Old style.
Fantastic. All right, you enjoy that old style, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Matt. Matt Bowen, ladies and gentlemen, doing the do. Love having him on. Love talking football with Matt. If you ever get the chance, highly recommend just having beers and chatting football with him. It is thebomb.com. So, Corey, that's Matt Bowen dropping some knowledge there.
I liked it.
And, hey, he picked the Packers. What
I like
a
to
shock.
Pick the best because last year he picked the Bears.
I think he did pick them in one of them.
He did.
Not both of them, but just one of them.
He did, because then I got mad and forgot he played for the Packers for a little while. You reminded me. You were like, dude, he played for the Packers. And yeah. I was like, ugh.
All right, so let's talk some Packers, speaking of. That's a lot on the Bears. Let's talk about the Packers. Let's talk about the Packers offense. James Jones, baby. James Jones is back. But like I mentioned with Matt, you got to expect, you know, it's not like Madden. It's not like you just put him in there and then just they keep galloping downfield.
It's not.
Breakneck pace. It was funny. They asked Aaron at his locker today, you know, how long does it take? Is it as simple as like just picking up where you left off? And Aaron said, what did James say? Which I think tells you, like, it's going to be, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time to get James back into the swing of things.
Of course.
Which I think does lead to Matt's point about, I think you will see a whole lot of two tight end right out of the gate. A lot of power with Lacy getting, you know, pounding on those first downs, getting into second and short, third and short.
Hold on. This is the sound of a Wisco Disco opening.
Oh.
Oh.
That sweet nectar
so
of life.
So beautiful.
Oh
man, so, I live for that every week. That second one. That second Wisco.
It is good stuff.
Anyway, you were saying?
I don't know, something about James Jones. Moving on. We got to monitor, speaking of Bakhtiari, TJ Lang, and Brian Bulaga, all of which who sat out the last 10 or so days of camp and obviously didn't play in the last preseason game. And you know, Lang was out for quite a while with that concussion. So these are guys, you know, we all know offensive line depth is tenuous every year, and this year no different than any other. So I'll be a little nervous, I got to admit. For those first, you know, remember last year in Seattle when Bulaga went down and Sherrod had to come in and all hell broke loose? Like, don't want to avoid that.
I'm really nervous because I listened to Corey Linsley's show on WDAZ.
I'm sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll say this.
You think the clipping's bad on this show?
I'll say this. Well, the technical...
Corey Linsley was the best thing about
Corey
that
was
show,
awesome.
By the way.
Corey was awesome on the show. His take, his presence, wonderful. The audio, not so great, but, you know, Corey was wonderful. And then I would expect Mike McCarthy and Tom Clemens to vary personnel, formation, etc. a whole lot more than we saw last year. Last year, I think they ran 11 personnel like 63% of the time. I think that those days will be long gone, although you never know. Hell, with Ty Montgomery in the mix, maybe they come four wide all the time now. I don't know. We'll see. But I expect to see a whole lot more of the tight end group, so to speak, especially Richard Rodgers.
Okay, here's my problem with that statement.
All right.
Okay.
Lay it on me.
Isn't the only tight end Richard Rodgers?
There's Andrew Corliss.
Wait, who?
And there's Backman.
Who?
Andrew Corliss.
Andrew Drop Corliss?
Come on. He caught the winning touchdown in Miami last year. And he caught the only touchdown in Detroit last year. I'm just saying those are catches that he made.
I'm just saying I'm not feeling a two tight end set with Richard Rodgers and Andrew Corliss. Call me sarcastic, ironic,
hey,
whatever.
You know what? You can still run two tight ends, run the ball, and then run two tight ends and throw it to somebody else. Say,
yeah,
Devontae Adams.
I just don't think opposing defenses are like, oh my goodness, Richard Rodgers and Andrew Corliss?
Well, they're probably
what
not.
Am I going to do?
You know what they are like, though? Like, they're all sarcastic like that about the tight ends. And then here comes Eddie Lacy. And then they're
yeah,
a little worried.
Exactly. But then they're keying on Lacy because they're like, Andrew Corliss and Richard Rodgers, I'm not afraid.
You make a point there, Banky. Although, hey.
Hey, let's key on Eddie Lacy. He
Richard
looks
Rodgers,
like he'll probably
Richard
get
the Rodgers could
Richard Rodgers
big jump.
Is, actually, I do jump. Think Richard Rodgers is going to make a jump this year. I totally jest.
I know.
He was.
You are, no, but your jest is correct, though. I mean, come on.
He was up and coming. No, as much as Devontae Adams was up and coming last year, Richard Rodgers.
It's funny how, like, Adams has gotten all the pub, right?
Rodgers had some amazing games. He did. He had like two or three.
And he really improved as the year went on. And so did Adams. But like Adams struggled just as much, if not more, than Rodgers at the start of last year.
Well, Adams
But
had
everyone
that.
Has already anointed Davante Adams as like the star.
Adams had that breakout game.
Yeah, well, he had the big game against the Patriots.
And then two.
And then he had a big day against the Cowboys.
Yes, and then Jordy Nelson out. You've got it.
So if that makes sense.
You can't be like, oh, Jeff Janis. I mean, even if you're a huge Wisconsin fan, you can't.
No, you can't. But it's like, so now, like Richard Rodgers, kind of flying under the radar a little bit. I mean, I know every
Michael's
Packers
like,
fan
not started. Everybody can have Gronkowski. By the way,
this is true.
Thank the Lord we do not have Rob Gronkowski. Talk about a wow.
Well, I'd like to have him on the field, but I just don't want to hear about him off the field.
I don't want him on or off.
Yeah, all right. You say that.
That's like Rapisberger, dude.
I don't know, dude. I like big guys who can catch touchdowns. And then I just ignore them off the field. I want to win. I want to win football games. And Gronkowski helps in that regard.
I would say Gronkowski is not Packer people.
He's not, but
if there's the
like,
quote
like
Packer people, and if it exists, those are two big ifs.
But what has he done? Like, he's a total meathead. Fine. Like, he doesn't hurt anybody. Like, he goes out, he parties, he has a great time. Like, I have a hard time casting aspersions on a guy who's young, really rich, and really fucking good at his job. You know, it's like, yeah, is he a total meathead? Does he say idiotic things? Sure. But he's a fucking great football player. And that's what he's asked to do. So I have minimal problem with that. Mm. But I hear you.
I have problems with him. He's a Patriots. Of course I have a problem with him, by the way.
So who gives? So that guy. All right, and then we'll switch over to the defensive side of the ball. And we're going to talk about the Bears testing the Packers' run defense. Because lest we forget, now everyone remembers the complete annihilation of the Bears in Lambeau last year on Sunday Night Football. Everyone remembers Aaron Rodgers throwing for a ton of yards and a bunch of touchdowns after telling everyone to R-E-L-A-X and then, you know, making that statement right before a Bears game where he goes off. Everyone remembers all that. What people don't tend to remember, and I know most people watching this program remember this, but the more casual Packer fan doesn't remember.
Yeah, no casual Packer fans are watching.
Is the Bears completely running all over the Packers down in Chicago last year in week four. I mean, it was freaking ugly. They did anything they wanted, and they did it. They ripped off huge gains, run after run after run. The only reason they had to abandon it was because of the tip drill that Tremont created that Clay Matthews caught and ran back, and then they scored a touchdown.
Which we have no one to create this year, by the way.
We're going to have words. Anyway, but like, and yeah, so the game got away from them, and they couldn't run the ball anymore. But they ran all over.
If it was anybody else but the Bears, they would be focused on our pass defense.
Right.
But because the Bears can't pass, they're going to be focused on our run defense. So I agree with that statement.
They will have to run the ball, and I think that's their best bet. That is like their one chance at success in this game is to control the clock, keep Aaron Rodgers off the field. Although I do think that narrative in the NFL is kind of overblown. It's their one chance. Shorten the game, keep away from Aaron, score points when they present themselves, and just run all over the Packers because that's their shot.
Which basically means they have no chance.
Basically, yeah, you're probably right about that. The next thing I want to watch is the Packers' defensive backs, which you have already maligned, and their ability to play press man against these here Bear receivers.
The key phrase
most notably
in this
Alshon Jeffrey.
The target word in this this here graphic is the word should.
Yeah, should. Should. Should be able to.
Should.
We'll see.
It's such a nice word.
That's week one, baby. Anything is possible. We don't know. That's the fun part. But Alshon Jeffrey, as you heard Matt say, was limited today. So we'll see how much of a factor he is on Sunday, if he even goes, is able to go. But you got to think. It's going to be exciting to see Sam Shields, Casey Hayward et al. You get this chance, get their first week one chance against a receiving core for an entire game. Very interested to see how this works out. I know you are too, Corey.
Oh, yeah. I'm so excited. I just can't hide it.
So, and finally, you got to think the Bears, these here Chicago Bears, are going to target trying to get Matt Forte in space against either one of Sam Barrington or Nate Palmer, whoever's out there, because we've seen Palmer listed as the starting inside linebacker opposite Sam Barrington, even though we all know Clay is going to play a ton of snaps inside on early downs. So you got to think they'll probably be mixing in Palmer, who I hear is getting very close to getting the, you know, club off his hand. But whoever's out there who isn't Clay Matthews, you got to think Adam Gase is going to try his damnedest to get Matt Forte matched up with him in space. Because I'm here to tell you, Sam Barrington against anybody in space is a bad look for the Packers. We all saw, you know, the Eagles game, preseason game. You know, obviously that's not totally representative because it's preseason. They're not making a ton of calls. You saw a bunch of cover two man and cover one. It's not, you know, very representative of what Dom's probably going to do. But whatever Dom does, Adam Gase is going to try and counter by getting Forte in space. And I think if he can do that like two or three times, that's going to be big. Those are going to be big win plays for the Bears. And that's no fault of Sam Barrington. That's just who he is. He's a great thumper. He's a great guy for stopping the run against power plays. Saw that against the Patriots, especially last year. But he's just not a great player in space. So I think that's how the Bears try and go after them, so to speak. So now it's that time, Corey.
It is.
That time.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
That's right. It's this week in the Packer blogosphere, the return of that terrible series. And this week we feature one of the posts that I put up earlier this week. My head and heart predictions are out, people. And I want to say this is the first time, I think it's the very first time that my head and my heart both agree. For the whole time we've been running this here site since 2007, my head and my heart are in agreement. The Green Bay Packers are winning the Super Bowl.
Wow.
I mean, you pick it every year, but this
which
is the first year.
Which means basically we won't win the Super Bowl now.
Probably
you basically just jinxed
because
us.
Because me and Peter King both picked the Packers.
Oh, Peter King picked the Packers?
He picked the Packers against the Steelers back in 2010.
I'm
just saying.
Why did you have to tell me that? That literally just ruined my night.
That's why I'm here, Corey. That's what I do, man.
Why?
That's
why?
What I do.
Why can't Peter King just like become roommates with Roger Goodell and call it a day, okay?
He's on his way.
Stop writing posts. Stop doing videos. Just be the sycophant NFL guy you are and go away.
Yeah. So, Corey, what's your prediction for the Green Bay Packers 2015 season?
19-0, baby.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
19-0. I don't need Peter King. I don't need Aaron Nagler. I don't need anybody to tell me 19-0.
There you go, baby. I love it.
That's 16 games straight.
All right. So we know the Packers are going to win on Sunday. So yes. Obviously, since they're going 19-0.
I mean, they're playing the Bears.
All right.
Oh, the biggest exciting news about the Bears-Packer rivalry.
Oh, no.
Is we could overtake the Bears.
Well, no, I think we could tie them this year. If we win both games, we tie the all-time series.
Which is pretty amazing.
It's pretty hot.
It's actually taken
my
like
entire childhood.
We were way behind.
Oh
when
my
we
god!
Were
my
born.
Entire childhood, especially during the Ditka years, it was like they just got further and further out ahead. And so now we could finally pull even. That would be a great day. That would be a great day. Thanksgiving night, Favre in attendance, retiring his number, and we pull even with the Chicago Bears of the all-time rivalry list. Come on, Banky. That'd be hot. So we'll see. We'll see. But so that's my question. We know they're going to win on Sunday. The question is, what's the final score?
I mean, I think it's going to be a blowout.
Yeah, but to what tune? Are we talking like one of those 50 burgers they dropped
42
last year?
42-0.
Zero?
Yeah.
Zero.
Does anybody think Jay Cutler can play quarterback anymore besides Matt Bowen?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I don't.
I think, okay, here's what I think. I think it's going to be Packers 38, Bears 17. That's what I think. So we have, what was it, 49-0?
42-0.
42-0, 38-17.
Have you ever been right about a prediction with the score?
Yeah, there was one year where
have
I
we
did
ever
a
checked?
Bears post. Yeah, it was, I did a Bears post.
Done the show for like 8
and
years.
I, no, and I forgot. What was funny is I forgot about it. It was back when I used to do like every Friday I would do a matchup thing. And I would like do like when the Packers have the ball, when the Packers are on defense.
Oh, yeah,
I would do
the
matchups and
that.
I would do
I
like video
that.
Clips and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah,
and then every week I would say like, here's the final score, and the final score is never right. Until one time against the Bears, I got it right. And I totally forgot, but someone sent it to me. I was like, you were right. That was a happy day.
That's like when people remember when I bet you things, and then they tell me what the bet was for, and I totally forgot what it was.
Yeah. I don't know. What did we bet again? Oh, no, that was like
I remember,
wording
the
of
point.
Something last week. Something about someone.
Yeah, it was an esoteric bet.
Yeah, it was like
for sure.
Someone is more likely to. Like, that's a provable statement.
I just hope that here's what I think is going to happen, right?
Yeah.
I think that Gunter's going to get an interception. I think that Shields or Hayward is going to get an interception.
Right. It's Jay Cutler.
But then I think what's going to happen is we're going to get a little complacent because of that, right? Because we don't realize that it's the Bears.
Right. And it's a rivalry.
Not a rival. It's the Bears. They're like the worst team this year.
All right.
Are they even in the top 15 in any category?
No. In fact, I saw someone today, someone I respect, said that he expects them to be have a top five draft pick this year.
Well, so I mean,
that's not good. And the talent that's what I wrote.
I mean, Matt Bowen himself is like they have no talent.
Here's
anymore.
A little plug for my day job. I have my season predictions, you know, for the entire NFL coming out tomorrow on FanDuel. Check it out. I'll tweet it out, obviously. And I wrote what I wrote about the Bears is like the talent level, like the discrepancy between the Bears and not just the Packers, but the rest of the division is shocking. I mean, if you just go player by player, it's shocking how little talent they have. You heard Matt say it about their defensive backs and it's the offensive line and they're in a state right now. And it's fun if you're a Packers fan, enjoy it.
Yeah, it's great.
Cause the NFL is always cyclical and you're on top 1 minute, you're underneath the next and got to enjoy the ride, and that's what we plan to do Sunday against the Bears. Anything else, Banky?
I just can't wait till we start playing games.
I know, man. We're close.
I can't believe we've done two shows before we even played one game. I think that's the first time that's ever happened.
I think so, too. You usually only start 1 week before. But, you know, it's all good. We're kicking off. We got it.
I just want to apologize to the fans. I just want to apologize to people watching the show because...
We've really had nothing to talk about.
Not us. No, I'm not apologizing for us. I'm apologizing for the Green Bay Packers, for the product they put on the field, for the NFL, for the product they put on the field for the preseason.
Right.
It's like an anti-toast.
It kind of is, right?
To the crappy-ass product we've all had to watch.
We've had it just...
I haven't watched. But
some of us have.
Some of us have watched the last 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. A toast to that being done.
All over.
And thank goodness for
all
that.
All over with that. All right, so... Without further ado, we out. Go Pack, go.
Take the high road when something like this happens. Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out? Any of that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?
Shh.